Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Week 8 of the National Football League season begins tonight with the Vikings and Chargers, a game you can hear Westwood One's coverage right here on 105.7 The Fan. And let's head out to the Window Nation Fan guest hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. And Baldy, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Lamar Jackson practiced limited yesterday. It sounds like he'll be listed as limited again today. But it seems like he's trending to play on Sunday. They play the Bears at home and then at the Dolphins on Thursday. Can the return of Lamar Jackson jumpstart their season?
Well, they can't win without him. That's clear right now. Mm-hmm. So Cooper Rush, Hundley, I mean, they're not going to win without him. And they're right now they're deep in the crypt and they're kicking sand on him and burying him. And it's hard to come out of 1-5 as it is, but they have to beat Chicago this week. And so I believe Lamar has to play. I know it's a short week. You get Miami, that should be, in theory, a win. But if they're going to come out of this, they need him on the field. It's like Cincinnati last week. If Joe Flacco doesn't go out there and do what he did against Pittsburgh, their season was over. They've got hope. And so Lamar goes out there this week, and they can find a way to beat the Bears. There's hope, but if they get to 1-6, this season's over.
I know that the transitive properties don't always hold in the NFL, like because this team did this to that team and then that team couldn't do this to that team. Right. Maybe it says more about the other team. But like around here, Baldy, it was hard not to be staying up real late Monday night watching that Houston Texans offense look like hot garbage again, thinking, my God. These guys before the bye week came into Baltimore and filleted them until they ran up the score enough that they finally took the quarterback off the field. Like, it was hard for me not to watch that thinking, my God, like that might be the biggest indictment of the Ravens defense yet, because they're going against McDonald, right? They're going against the real thing of what they're trying to get back to. And he hadn't won at home in forever. And they suffocated those dudes from the first drive on. Meanwhile, the Ravens couldn't get off the field against them.
Well, I mean, that's true, Jason, but I don't know what Mike McDonald, what he was doing with the defense. Entire starting defensive line is out.
Yeah.
Always traded, Broderick Washington, Matabike, Robinson. I mean, if you took Leonard Williams and, Byron Murphy and, John Reed, if you took them off that Seattle defensive front, I'm sure CJ would have had a whole lot more, success. So, I mean, it's tough sledding. Nobody wants to make excuses, but, I mean, if you're not good in the trenches and you're minus Ricard and Stanley on offense and you're, there is no replacement for what Ricard does in the run game. So, they're just not going to be very good. And if you take the best player in the league, Lamar, off the field for 2 weeks, you're going to score, whatever they've scored in the last 2 weeks, 13 points. It's just the way this league is right now.
Talking with Brian Baldinger, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. We were talking about this earlier, Baldy. The Bears have 15 takeaways in their last four games.
I know.
Have you been impressed by this Bears defense?
I have. I mean, the takeaways are significant. I mean, I don't know when's the last time the Bears led the league in takeaways, but they're so far out in front right now of just turnover ratio because they're not turning the ball over. So, you know, they're winning these games in, on this four-game win streak because of that. And it was significant. I mean, on the second play of the game, Montez Sweat got the ball out of Spencer Rattler's hands and he recovered a fumble and scored. And, you know, Kevin Byard leads the league in interceptions right now with four. So Nashawn Wright has stepped in for, you know, Jalen Johnson and played great at the right corner. So they, but, you know, Dennis Allen's a quality defensive coordinator. He's got those guys, you know, it's not like they have a great pass rush. They don't.
No.
It's a weakness of theirs. But they're getting their hands on footballs. T.J. Edwards got the ball in ones, and Tremaine intercepted one last week. They're in the passing lanes right now. And when you tip balls in this league, you come down with a lot of interceptions, and they've got 11 of them right now.
Baldy, are we back to this league belongs to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and everybody else is playing for second place?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Andy's right now, like, you know, what he's like, Jason. I mean, you give him Rashee Rice after he's been out for 6 weeks, along with Hollywood and Xavier and Tyquan Thornton and Travis. Like, he's just enjoying himself, tinkering with 10 new plays, getting ready for the next game. And they look like they're going to be unstoppable because, you know, maybe the left tackle position is, you know, I mean, it's a little questionable about what's going on there. But Jalen Moore's played well. And so I think everybody else is looking up at Kansas City like we have for decades right now.
Baldy, I want to go to the game, I think it's Sunday night, Steelers hosting the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers facing his former team, the Packers, and the Steelers' defense has been dreadful of late. Micah Parsons coming off a three-sack performance. Can Green Bay go into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers?
Well, you know, look, I mean, what Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Yosef Osh did to that Steelers' defense, it's remarkable that you could stay in man coverage like that. Like all game, and everybody's getting torched by Jamar. Like they just took turns, whether it was Slay or Ramsey or, you know, Porter. I mean, at some point you just go, let's just play an umbrella defense, keep everything in front of us. And they kind of refused to do that. So they didn't really adjust very good. They've had problems against the run this year. But honestly, if Pittsburgh doesn't do better than what Arizona did to Micah Parsons, and you just leave Micah one-on-one with any of their tackles, Faitano, Broderick Jones, it doesn't matter. Like, he's going to get to Aaron Rodgers and probably change the game like he did last week. Arizona's going down the field to win that game, and Micah Parsons ruined their chances. And so if you don't have a game plan for him every play, he's a unique player. And Aaron Rodgers is not going to get away from him if he wins his, you know, his battle against whatever tackle he's going against. And so they better have a game plan for him every single player, or Aaron Rodgers is going to, he's going to suffer in that, you know, in that game that he's looking forward to.
This is obviously the ultimate team sport, but we've seen some individuals come back and have immediate impacts, even if it hasn't been like crazy in the box score, right? We mentioned Rice, and it's not like he's catching a million balls deep downfield, but we know what he does to defend them. George Kittle didn't have a target in that game the other night, but my God, they ran outside zone. Like, I haven't seen them run outside zone in a long time, and that's got a lot to do with him. And I bring that up because it sounds like, feels like Joe Alt's going to play tonight for the Chargers. And can his return do for them some of the things we've seen some of these other guys do for their teams?
Yes. I mean, but, you know, even without Joe Alt last week and, you know, in getting thumped out there, you know, what Indianapolis did, you know, Justin Herbert still threw for over 400 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's gotten hit more than any other quarterback in the league, and he's thrown for more yards. I mean, he's just a beast right now. But Joe Alt makes a difference, to your point. I thought it was interesting you brought up George Kittle, because I've watched that game carefully, Jason, and it's not like he was great at the point of attack, but I feel like just him and Juice on the field together, it's like Christian McCaffrey had the best game he's had in 2 years. And maybe just seeing those guys out there, that he got better lanes and he got more creases than he's had, and he looked really fresh and spry jumping through those holes. And so maybe just seeing those guys in the huddle and seeing the eye formation and some of the things that he's used to seeing, that might have made a difference. But to answer your big question, if Joe Alt's out there, I mean, they've had seven offensive tackles play this year.
Yeah.
And some of them weren't in the league when we started the season this year. Bobby Hart, some other guys. So it's going to trend in the right direction for the Chargers offensively if he's out there.
Baldy, let's finish with the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Flacco. And after their win Thursday night, they host the Jets Sunday. With a win against the Jets, they get back to 500. It seemed like a couple weeks ago people were talking about the Bengals being sellers. Are you now buying the Bengals? Could they be buyers at the deadline?
It's not really what they do. You know, but if they get to 500, I mean, I don't think they're going to be sellers. Yeah, I know if they're going to be buyers, but they're not going to be sellers. They're not going to, Trey Henderson isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And they won a game, you know, against Pittsburgh without him. But that's just because the offense was just that prolific. If they take care of business against the Jets and Joe Flacco can continue to win, help them win games, and he covers a lot of mistakes and a lot of deficiencies on defense that they have, they could get back in the race. It was phenomenal to watch what Joe did. I mean, that was an all-timer, even for Joe. I mean, that's as good as we've ever seen him play. And that was, I don't know, if he was there for 10 days and doing that. He didn't even know what some of the plays were. He just used his instincts. I'm not sure how that all got done, but that's a Netflix special waiting to happen.
Baldy, scale of 1 to 10, how much are you buying the Indianapolis Colts as an AFC power?
I would say a 10, Jason.
Wow.
Like, I can't find a weakness.
Yeah.
You know, just talking to Lou Anarumo a couple weeks ago, he thought there were some things that they had to correct, and I don't think defensively they're a juggernaut. But offensively, I haven't seen that team slip. In fact, that game against the Rams when I was out there, they should have beaten the Rams that day.
Yeah.
The receiver made some knucklehead plays, but they got the league's leading rusher. The offensive line is good. The quarterback doesn't make mistakes. The play callers and Shane Steichen is elite. Like, I think they are for real. I don't think they're going to slip and come back to the pack right now. I think everybody is going to be looking up at them. They go to Pittsburgh, I think, next week. And if Pittsburgh takes care of business, that could be, you know, a real maybe a prelude to what we might see in January. But they look like they're for real for me.
Baldy, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and we'll chat next week.
You got it, guys. Take care, man.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side, and we'll continue talking NFL football next as we look at the league at large. And Justin Fields responds to Woody Johnson. We'll hear from Sean Payton, maybe a little Roger Goodell. It's league at large next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan.
Look, and the euphoria, the way that game unfolded, that was strictly about Dart. I mean, and I that was in no way, shape, or form anything that was directed at Russ. So, and I might be able to see how he might perceive that, but coming off that win and watching how he played, that wasn't any intention at all.
So that's Sean Payton trying to walk back some comments he made a few days prior, where he was like, "Yeah, I told the Broncos I was hoping we wouldn't see Dart. We'd still see." He didn't say it, but we'd still see Russ, because I know Dart's a good quarterback, which led Russell Wilson to maybe have the tweet of the NFL season, where he responded by saying, "Classless but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15 plus years later through the media. Sunglasses face emoji, laughing emoji, hashtag let's ride, another laughing emoji." So Sean Payton, he couldn't help himself, I guess, but now walking it back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was caught up in that win. And he's an emotional guy. I just, it's been interesting for me to listen to and take in a little bit of the discourse on this, because there's a lot of people, and I can see where they're coming from, who feel like a head coach should be sort of above the fray. But I don't know, man. The world's changing. The world has changed. Social media has changed. Norms, I mean, societal norms. Right? Governmental norms. So much has changed that I was here for this. I don't know if that says, maybe that says something about me.
Yeah.
But like, he had the player. He took a shot on the player. Everybody knows there was a falling out with the player. I mean, the whole Broncos country, let's ride. I mean, how much was Sean Payton cringing in real time?
Oh, that was hokey.
So like, I don't know. And like, is this, should he be sent to the principal's office? I don't have a problem with Russ firing back either. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, I don't have a problem with any of it. I'm kind of here for it, but maybe I'm in the minority. Maybe Sean Payton, maybe he should just bite his tongue and shut his mouth. I don't know.
I was here for what transpired after that when that Russell Wilson tweet hit my feed. And I think I'm not in the minority on this. Everybody enjoyed that, because we kind of feel like Russ at this point is a bit of a square, but
yeah,
he came out swinging, and I was here for that.
I mean, I think what's probably most unfortunate for Sean Payton is that this obscured what his team did, which
yeah,
was have an absolutely bonkers, odds-defying, perhaps season-defining win over the Giants, who, while I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Giants are a truly elite football operation, to score 33 points like that after you'd been shut out for three quarters is special. And you can go back now to what them playing the Colts. And we just talked to Baldy, and I just asked Baldy about the Colts.
Yeah.
And he said Colts are a 10 out of 10 for him as an AFC power. And Denver had the Colts beat, and they lost on a leverage play. And their response to that has been to find ways to win games.
Sure.
Super ugly against the Jets in London. Found ways. The defense literally pitched a shutout. Here, the defense doesn't have it for three quarters. And Bo Nix doesn't look like he's got it. And then in the fourth quarter, they win the fourth quarter in a way that never happened in NFL history before, to find a way to win that game. So what I'm saying is, for that Denver program, I think these are all feathers in their caps, and it's building up calluses and muscle memory. And again, I don't know that anybody's going to catch Kansas City now, but it's early in the season. People will get hurt. The pendulum has a way of swinging. But like, if you told me that Denver and the Colts met again,
yeah,
in an AFC championship game or a divisional game for the right to face the Chiefs, I wouldn't flinch.
By the way, the Broncos host the Cowboys on Sunday, and that's a much more interesting game than I would have thought it would have been 2 weeks ago. Dak Prescott.
Most dominant offense in the league versus a defense that, by a lot of metrics, is still very elite.
Yeah, so that should be fun, 4:25 on Sunday. We heard earlier in the week Woody Johnson talking to the media.
And what a class act he is.
Yeah, and taking a shot at his quarterback, Justin Fields. Well, yesterday, Jets quarterback Justin Fields responded.
Nah. I wasn't. Like I said, I'm not on social media. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't. You know, of course, everybody knows, you know, I need to play better. We need to play better as a team. And, of course, you know, no matter how, you know, the offense does as a unit, you know, I'm going to get the blame. And I understand that. That's just what comes with the job. But honestly, it's what comes with it. So you can't let anything kind of affect your mind, my mind, and that's what it is. No matter if it's, you know, him, no matter if it's, you know, family members, even teammates, sometimes there's going to be times where you have to be the only one who believes in yourself. So, you know, like I said, that's his opinion, And like I told you guys after the game on Sunday, I'm at peace. And all I'm focused is right now is working each and every day and getting better. So.
Very mature response from Justin Fields in this season.
Much more mature than his billionaire overlord.
He's probably not starting this game in Cincinnati on Sunday.
Well, I guess it depends on what they can get out of Tyrod and where his health status is. But it's clearly he's not long for that place. Look, I am a bit of a truther for him. I think he's had a raw deal everywhere he's been. I think if I'm running an NFL team and I see how he's handled this situation and I see the ridiculous clown shows that he's been surrounded by from a coaching standpoint and an ownership standpoint, I think there's a lot of clay still to mold there. And I'm not saying he'll ever be who he was drafted to be, but you can't tell me that he can't have some sort of eventual revival that at least in some way approximates a Daniel Jones or a Sam Darnold or a Baker Mayfield. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he'll be that prolific in the passing game, but can he be a really viable backup quarterback who can help you win games when your starter goes down? I mean, I still think that's the floor for him. But again, maybe I'm biased.
You said yesterday, what about him backing up Lamar Jackson next year?
I'd be all about it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Hey, coming up next, Ravens, the coordinators are talking right now. We'll hear from Monk and Moore later in the show. But the players spoke yesterday, so why don't we hear a little bit of Tyler Linderbaum, DeAndre Hopkins, some Kyle Hamilton, and maybe if we have time, Emory Jones, who all spoke. That's next here on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan.
It was good. Yeah. Obviously, he was missed, and he'll continue to get better and better, and be happy to have him out on the field whenever that is.
So that was Tyler Linderbaum asked about having Lamar Jackson back at practice. This was yesterday. Lamar on the field again today, and he's, we're excited. If he plays, he plays. I saw that Monk, and we'll hear from him later. He says it's up to Lamar, and if Lamar says he's ready to go, we'll be ready to roll.
I just, this feels like this is still cloaked in a lot more mystery and shrouded in a lot more doubt than I would have guessed when we heard Harbs talk about it last Thursday, I guess it was, before they cleared the building out for the bye.
It was
Friday, but I feel like Friday was maybe the coordinator. I feel like whatever it was, no, last
they,
week.
I think they all spoke on Tuesday.
Whatever. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of caveats involved in this now, and I don't think it's for show. I don't think it's performative because I think, boy, if he was 100%, they'd really be trying to signal to their fans and everybody else who they can make money off for this game that Lamar is all the way back. And they're unable to do that verbally or, through practice availability. So the way it's being talked about now, the way it's being framed, I call me a sucker. I don't think we're getting 100% Lamar or frankly, super close to it.
More from Tyler Linderbaum. It talks about the team's struggles in the red zone.
Yeah, just got to find a way to get the ball in the end zone. Story of football, when you get down to the red zone, get down to the low red, you got to find a way to get the ball in there.
By the way, and I've noticed this post-game too, this season has beaten Tyler Linderbaum down. He used to be a really good quote, and now it's pretty matter-of-fact. I, you know what? They're 1-5, so Yeah, he's wearing it.
Hey, man, it's a business.
Yeah.
And the business of football, yeah, is not been good to Tyler Linderbaum because he hasn't been able to reach. Look, I'm sure when Tyler Linderbaum got drafted where he was drafted and got talked about the way he was talked about and performed like he did early in his career, that he thought he's going to have a bag, a real NFL bag.
Yeah.
And not only does he not have that bag, there's strong reason to believe that bag will never come in Baltimore.
No.
And he's a part of a team that's pretty miserable, can't get out of its own way, and the offensive line has become a national story for all the wrong reasons. So I would not expect a very chipper Tyler Linderbaum. I would not, even though the center is supposed to be the face of that and the quarterback of that group, they put two dudes around him who can't play in the NFL.
No.
The left tackle hasn't been available all that much, and when he has been, he's looked highly compromised by someone whose career nearly ended multiple times due to injury. And so, yeah.
And the right tackle's regressed.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you get what you get. I'm sure Linderbaum will still be fine, and he's young, and the free agent market is always fairly picked through. So he'll probably still do okay.
Yeah.
But this is not how he thought this was going to play out.
Let's go to DeAndre Hopkins. Now, he did not practice today, but he practiced yesterday and spoke, so I'm guessing he's either sick or it's a vet day for DeAndre Hopkins, the only Raven not on the practice field today, and talks about the team feeling more pressure and intensity from now on.
I think, you know, now for us, every down and every play means a lot. It's not playoff football yet, but for us, you know, it's kind of a situation where, you know, everything is, you know, a little in height. You know, we got to go out and play our best ball going forward, and I think everyone knows that.
It's not playoff football yet, but it's essentially playoff football
it's
for them.
Football.
For them, that they got to, like, at worst, they got to win 9 of 11. So, like, they got to win Sunday.
It's playoff football. Look, Lamar Jackson's going to play in this game for a couple of reasons. One, the guys who they signed to back him up are horrible.
Yep.
And two, because it's a playoff game.
Yeah. Yep.
If they're 4-2 at the bye, like a lot of people thought they would have been, including them.
Yeah.
Then, you know what? Hey, Lamar, it's still coming along. But boy, Cooper Rush looked great in practice again, and he's getting the bulk of the reps. So, you know, you'd be hearing the stuff you're hearing in San Francisco or Arizona.
Yeah.
Where the backup's doing the job.
By the way, if Lamar doesn't go, I think it's Huntley, not Rush.
I'd be shocked if it's not Huntley.
Yeah. So, like, that's where we are.
And if it's Huntley, they're losing the game.
Yeah. Well, We know he can't play. More from DeAndre Hopkins. Says he doesn't want to look too far ahead. He's focusing on the Bears.
I don't really know how many wins we would need to answer your question. You know, it's too early in the season to have to go out play our best against Chicago.
You know, this is not what DeAndre Hopkins signed up for either. He wanted to play with Lamar Jackson, and he thought he was going to get a shot at a ring. Got close with the Chiefs. They got to the Super Bowl and lost. And he's like, okay, now I get to play with a guy I've wanted to play with for a while. I'm not even going to worry about getting a big bag because I want to play with Lamar Jackson. And here he sits at 1-5.
Yeah. I mean, he thought he, you know, and understandably so, thought he was coming to be the cherry on top of an offense that was already generational and a team that was, despite their head coach's unwillingness to admit it publicly, very much in Super Bowl or bust mode.
Yeah. Let's hear from Kyle Hamilton. He spoke yesterday and talks about the awful start and their mindset after the bye.
I think you can't ignore the past, but, you know, we're forward thinking at this point, kind of have to be. Every game for us is a playoff game. That's how it feels and how it's going to have to be from here on out. Dug ourselves in a deep hole, but in order to get in the dance, we got to really be locked in from here on out. So we're trying to do that.
I'll say this, and I don't want to use the L word freely, but he's been the closest thing to a leader in that locker room this season, at least for me. He seems always out there to speak.
Yeah.
Save for one game, I think he's spoken after every football game.
Well, look, I think this is his defense now, and he recognizes that. Matt Ibike's career is in jeopardy. Roquan Smith is a liability. It's a contract albatross. This is probably it for Marlon. The youngsters, the first round pick, the second round pick, It's going to be a while before they're ready for any sort of leadership roles or even to be sort of the next guys up. Wiggins might always have a hard time staying on the field the way he's built. So, like, and we know Roquan's a front runner, and it's going to be a while before they're looking like a front runner. So, yeah, he's got to own it. He's got to wear it. Like, just start looking at all the holes on this team and moving forward. The guys they hyped up who are never going to be what they whispered they could be, and the guys who they sign who can't even get on the field. Like, get used to it, Kyle. It's your defense. The middle linebacker who wears the dot, he don't want to own it now that it's horrible, and he's a big part of it being horrible. So you're it. Again, Marlon, this is the final half season of Marlon as a Baltimore Raven. Just look at the roster. You tell me. Whose defense is it?
It's Kyle Hamilton's defense. And they just gave him a big bag before the start of the season. Kyle Hamilton talks about Aloe Gilman and how he's helped the defense.
Lowe's a great guy. He was a senior at Notre Dame when I was a freshman. So freshman year, he was my roommate in camp, talked me off the ledge, all that stuff. Great guy, and it's good to be playing with him again. As a football player, he's great. He's been in the league. This is 6th year, and he's done great over there in L.A., and I'm glad we got him. But as a defense, I think that does allow me to kind of move around and do some different things. And that's not just me. That's everybody. And just we have a different duality that we can throw at teams. And you know, we have our fastballs. We kind of got some off-speed pitches too.
He can talk about everybody, but this was mostly about Kyle Hamilton.
That's absolutely. And it's something that could have been easily addressed in a non-punitive, non-difficult, non-blow-up-the-cap manner throughout a long half-year offseason. But it wasn't.
One more from Kyle Hamilton. What about the quarterback you face on Sunday, Caleb Williams?
Super talented. I mean, number one pick for a reason. Can make all the throws on the field. Probably one of the best outside of Lamar at keeping a play alive and creating stuff on the move and off schedule plays. And I think their offense as a whole is very talented, top to bottom. I know they kind of revamped the O-line a little bit, so they're blocking well and got some young receivers and tight ends who are really good. And Swift and everybody back there is running the ball really well. So it's a challenge. They're rolling too, so props to them. I think they started 0-2 and they won 4 straight, if I'm not wrong. And so it's up to us to go out there on Sunday and put out the fire and light our fire.
Yeah, they got a big task in front of them because, as he pointed out, they put a lot of money into their O-line and they're running the ball well, and they do have some good young receivers. And Caleb Williams is playing, for the most part, mistake-free football.
Yeah, and I do wonder if this is a week that Ben Johnson unleashes his legs a bit more than we've seen since week 2. I suspect that it is. And I suspect that Kyle Hamilton's going to have plenty of action in that chess piece hybrid linebacker role, because I think, and we'll see DeAndre Swift, you know, what that looks like. But yeah. I think that Ben Johnson's going to attack them with running backs in a multitude of ways.
Tier one more. I'm pretty sure yesterday was the first time Emory Jones spoke to the media since the day he was drafted. Because remember, he's been hurt the whole offseason, so he wasn't talking after any training camp practices. But he spoke in the locker room yesterday, and I was asked, when will he be cleared to play?
Yeah, I talked to my doctor actually yesterday. We had a big kind of conference call. He pretty much cleared me yesterday. So, you know, next week I should be able to go. You know, if Coach Harbaugh think that I'm ready and they give me the opportunity, and I'm going to be in there.
He's ready to go next week.
Yeah.
For transactionally, he's been put on the roster because they weren't going to IR him for the year. And he replaced Tavius Robinson, who went on IR.
Yeah, I think this is, again, and they've intimated as much, going to be a quite a process getting him, building him up on the practice
field. I think he's starting in December, but I don't know about right now.
I don't think it's before then.
Like, he just started pass pro drills.
Yeah, it's again, he's someone who, especially if the season is lost, the final 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever, he's someone who could be getting some valuable evaluation snaps.
Coming up next, man, we woke up to some interesting news in the National Basketball Association as the FBI making some arrests. We might get some on-the-court stuff as well because it was a wild night in the NBA. But time for NBA shoot-around next here on The Fan. So this was not on my bingo card this morning. So just getting ready to doing stuff this morning. All of a sudden, Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, Damon Jones are among 30-some people that have been arrested in a widespread sports rigging operation, including illegal gambling. There's two separate things. So I guess Chauncey Billups involved in the illegal gambling, the rigged poker games. Terry Rozier involved in the sports betting. And Damon Jones, a former player and coach, involved in both. Mafia heavily involved, both Italian and American mob. Quite a morning.
Yeah. These are all allegations at this point, and I would just point out, just Google the background of some of the people who were speaking today. They're complete morons who have no business being in the position they're in, and things in this country have been highly politicized in a way that goes far beyond past norms. So I don't know. I found it odd, conflating, bizarre that you've got idiots like Cash Patel talking about people who lost money in illegal card games and were fighting for their rights. Wait a minute. You're gambling illegally. You're going into illegal casinos to bet, and then you're pissed off that somebody was using a machine to rig the cards. Like, this is what the FBI is up to. Not domestic terrorism. Not anything else about people who may have shot at this person or shot at that person. Like, we're literally cracking down because we think Chauncey Billups was among people who used the machine to illegally rig the cards in illegal card games.
Well, fixing sports betting.
Do we really think that that's the best use of everybody's time, money, etc.? And do we really think that that would be going on if the person running this country didn't have some bone to pick with the NBA, or I don't know, if maybe the demographics of the NBA were a little different at a time when these same people are bitching and moaning about who's going to be singing at the Super Bowl. So you asked, I'm telling you, that's what went through my mind. As to the illegal sports betting thing, I get a little bit of a chuckle out of people who point to widespread mainstreaming of gambling as to why this was happening. People have been throwing games forever.
Well, you had the whole, but like the guys from Goodfellas were fixing Boston College basketball games.
It's been happening forever. Like, yeah. It's not a proliferation of it because the leagues are taking money from FanDuel. It's actually probably being monitored now better than it ever was before. But like, this isn't some new thing that because college kids can bet, and I don't think college kids should be able to bet. I think there should be higher age requirements, whatever. But no, it's not that. This has always been a risk. If you lived a life with blinders on, thinking everything you ever saw in college and big time pro sports was completely above board, I would say you're naive. You're a bit of a sucker. I mean, it's happened on the tennis tour. It's happened at the highest levels of international soccer. It's happened in college basketball. Dude, just Google Tim Donahue. You think that whole thing was a nothing burger?
No, it was not. But for what it's worth, they say they have proof that Terry Rozier said he was going to beg out of a game, told some people to bet the unders on his props. About 9 minutes into the game, he said he had a foot issue and came out of the game. So about $200,000 was made off of his props, and allegedly they have proof of him counting said money, which was brought to him. The Damon Jones part is interesting. He contacted LeBron James about his ankle and then let people know about that before the injury report came out, which allowed people to bet with insider information.
I think this has happened forever, has happened on a grander scale than we're probably more aware of. What I think has happened is this has seeped into, like, if you turn on ESPN, it's all they've been talking about all day. Because it is much easier to gamble and you don't just have to go to Vegas to gamble, when these stories hit, they make way more of an impact. If the Donahue thing had never happened before and that story broke 12 hours from now, it would be covered in such a more meaningful and widespread level than it was then. Would you not agree, Beltway, Ben?
I couldn't agree more. I'd also love, like, everybody's blaming bettors for this. Like, some of this is on people, Terry Rozier. The funny thing with Terry Rozier, people are finding the videos of his passes.
Oh, it's
and
bad.
Those have gone around for a while.
Yeah.
It's like him straight up throwing it to the other team. He goes to throw the pass, stops it, throws it again. So I think there's more to that. And then there's always the Jonte Porter stuff because somehow he's involved in this.
Yes.
Jonte Porter hit the three and looked horrified that he made the shot. He banked it in, was not trying to bank it. And there's the video of him looking horrified. Again, I think this is going on a lot more than anybody knows. And they found this one and they're so excited they found this one. This is going on regularly in all sports, and more of this stuff is going to come out, and they're going to continue to put it on the wrong thing.
Can we mention one on-the-court thing from last night? How about my Philadelphia 76ers, guys? Even with Joel Embiid looking awful. Vijay Ejikom, 34 points, third-best NBA debut in the history of the league. Maxie has 40. They go into Boston and beat the Celtics last night.
This one I was, you know, it's kind of one I just wanted to watch and observe because there's obviously some variance or uncertainty with both of these teams. How much is Boston going to be impacted by what they, you know, a guy like Horford leaving and then obviously Tatum being out for the year? There's a path there for your Sixers to be.
For somebody, yeah.
Well, I kind of like the Raptors, and I know it was only Atlanta, and I know
you were
only
on that one
game. I've done it a couple different ways, and I would not shock me personally if the Raptors were the team that finished behind the Knicks in that division, but that's just me.
By the way, Ben, what'd you think about Vijay Ejikom last night?
I was pretty shocked, and I like this guy. I mean, he was a 5-star recruit.
Yeah.
There was a lot of things with him, but Philly in the past 2 years has gotten that out of, and this is not a random guy. Again, this is a top pick. They expect this from him. But like Quentin Grimes, and last night, what do you, something 5-5? Like he had a fine night, but they can get scoring on other people. If somehow, some way, you can get Joel Embiid back to a regular player, I do think they're a threat.
Yeah. And they should get McCain back.
And he's another guy who put up 30. I mean, they can get this out of Tyrese Maxey is one of the better guards in the NBA. I think they could be a threat if Joel Embiid is old Joel Embiid.
Coming up next, you know Lucy Burge brings it every single time. She's from DraftKings. We'll get her thoughts, her best bets, and some nonsense next with Lucy here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.